GFL Football. Der GFL Podcast mit Thorsten Sell.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen, liebe Freunde des gepflegten Kollisionssportes. Ich befinde mich thematisch heute im Süden bei den Munich Cowboys und ich habe Lucas Noland, den Safety bzw. Defensive Back der Cowboys, hier bei mir zu Gast. Ich werde jetzt nach München schalten und das Ganze dann auf Englisch weiterführen, also nur, dass ihr euch nicht erschreckt. Mein Name ist Thorsten Sell und das Ganze wird euch präsentiert, wie immer, von New Yorker. Also viel Spaß mit mir und Lucas in den nächsten Minuten. Lucas, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, obviously, man. I mean, you're coming from a very storied college, but we will get to that later. The most recent weekend, you played your game versus the Razorbacks coming off yesterday. So you took the time being on that show in the morning. So thank you for that. But beside that game, you guys are doing pretty good. I mean, you turned the table from last year to this year. How come that?
Sorry, one more time. You cut out there when you were
asking. No problem. That's kind of life. We leave it in. It's no problem. You turned the table in Munich from being almost relegated last year to being top of the list this year. Beside that game yesterday, how did that come apart?
I wasn't here last year, but just being part of the team this year, I can speak on. I mean, I think we've got a good group of guys, and you know, Coach Christos has been awesome. I think across the board, we can all agree on that. I mean, I play defense, but our offensive guys love him. Got a good defensive coordinator, Coach Byron, and I just think we're gelling really well, and you know, fortunately, we're able to get off to a good start this year and pick up and start playing with each other, kind of like we've known each other for a while, which has been cool. And you know, for me coming over here, I mean, you know, I don't speak very much German at all, but all the guys on the team have been awesome with me and the other imports, and you know, when I'm out there and stuff, I don't really feel like there's a language barrier. I don't feel like, you know, I'm in another place. I just feel like I'm playing football, and you know, so I just think kind of like the culture we're starting to build with our team has been really good, and we're tightening in. And, you know, yesterday was unfortunately a tough one for us, but you know, we're hoping to bounce back and continue to have more good days and bad days. So
speaking about the language barrier, for us Germans, it's pretty tough because we have a language barrier from the northern part of Germany speaking with guys from Bavaria. So yeah. It's always interesting and very funny to really hear, like, when people come from overseas, no, I don't speak that much German, but they try to teach me. It's like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
So did you already pick up words?
I mean, I've picked up very little. I'm working on my numbers. When I decided I was going to come over here and was fortunate enough to sign with Munich, I got on a like Duolingo or one of those apps, and I started to try and learn the basics, but I did a really poor job of staying with it. Right now I just try and, you know, say thank you in German. And the most common one I've got is just, you know, es tut mir leid, sprechen Sie Englisch, kein Deutsch. So that I pull that one out. Hopefully that sounded all right to you.
Well, yeah, man, that's thumbs up. From my perspective, like I said, from being from the north part of Germany, that's even better than any Bavarian. But no. Love goes out to all all people from Bavaria as well.
Yeah.
Well, you said that football is a universal language. So you all agreeing on the same let's say vocabulary. Is that something that you really really feel like you get along with players just by speaking football?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's you know, I'm fortunate enough to kind of be in a, you know, a player first, but also really kind of helping to coach a little bit and practice and stuff like that. And I think every once in a while, like what I think I'm relaying can get lost because of the language barrier. But for the most part, I just think that football is kind of a universal language, and the rules of football and how it's played, you know, it's easy to get across to people. And yeah, it's just been, you know, when I got here, I was a little nervous. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know, you know, how English was going to be, but I, you know, at least what I'm realizing and, you know, being on a team with a lot of guys that are mainly in their early to mid 20s, like me, or maybe late 20s, early 30s is they all have a pretty good, you know, background in English, which is just, it's cool. It's kind of cool for me to see, especially coming from America where we really don't do it, like learn any other languages. I mean, you know, I would say the most, you know, the most common second language is Spanish. But it's just, it's cool for me to see how, you know, flip back and forth over here. I mean, I have a teammate who speaks four languages. He speaks German, he speaks English, he's Russian, he speaks Russian at home, and he speaks Mandarin as well. And to me, that's just crazy. You know, it's just not something that I'm used to at all. So it's been cool to see.
Well, but that's not the standard. I know, but not myself, but I know people that know three languages if they have a foreign background, like Turkish, yeah, or Russian or Polish or whatever you said. Being from Oregon, I would consider Oregon always as a little bit more progressive than the rest of the states, like the Northwest, like, yeah, Washington, especially, sure, Portland, and Oregon itself is more progressive. So it's funny to hear that you have like this barrier in, like, not in your head, but in your expectation. So was that really, like, hands down, Lucas, was that lederhosen and drinking beer all the time?
Is that what my expectation? Sorry, you cut out again. Yeah, a little, yeah, bit. Was, yeah, that my expectations of Germany?
Yeah, was that your expectations?
That's what the lederhosen. I was not expecting to see them as often as I have, actually. You know, I mean, a
in
lot
Munich,
of times.
I mean,
yeah, I mean, it is, you know, Bavaria. I mean, I thought that was really, you know, people told me I was coaching high school football, yeah, in the States before I got over here, and one of our assistants had when he was playing, thought about coming over to play or tried to. He ended up just traveling Europe for a while, and he was telling me how, you know, for Oktoberfest and the festivals, that's when the lederhosens come out, and I got to try and get one. But I see them every weekend when I'm out. I see some guys that are, you know, some guys dress what I would call, you know, normal clothes, and but I see always. I always see guys out in lederhosen normal weekend going out, which is so funny to me. But so that has been over. I've seen that more than I expected to see it. But the beer is definitely true. I mean, the beer drinking is all the time. So it's been fun.
But I mean, that's a good part to say. But just to inform you and all of our other listeners, it's there's a big difference between Bavaria and the rest of Germany, because in Bavaria, I guess, or from what I've read, is that beer is like a basic, or is considered a basic nutrition. So you can basically have beer like in your at your job, like when you have like a break or something. So maybe that's a mystery, but I will just put it out there, and it makes sense to that point. But anyway, coming from Oregon, starting with your football career, you coming from Oregon, played high school football in Oregon, and what happened next?
Yeah, so grew up playing high school football. I mean, lived there my whole life. Started playing when I was whatever it was, 9 years old. And then when I was getting done with high school, and I was a senior, I was, you know, reaching out to a bunch of schools. You know, reaching out to a bunch of schools. Looked at some schools on the East Coast. Looked at Montana. Looked at some smaller schools. But you know, I kind of knew in my heart, like, I was an Oregon kid. I grew up going to Oregon. My dad had season tickets to Oregon football games growing up, and in my heart, I knew that that's kind of really what I wanted the chance to go do. And I was really fortunate enough, my senior year, one of the guys who was in basically recruiting or player personnel for Oregon was at one of our games, not to watch me, but to watch somebody else, a younger kid who was much better, but I had a pretty good game. I made a lot of tackles, and he ended up kind of, I think, just looking into who I was, and And they ended up offering me a walk-on spot, which, you know, not scholarship, but still the chance to come and join the team, be a part of the team, and kind of have a spot when I got to school in the fall. And, you know, I called the other schools that I was talking to, and I just, you know, told them, you know, this is kind of a dream to, like a lot of kids, to go play Division I football, no matter the route. And that's what I wanted to go do. So was really fortunate and excited to go to Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, for us in Germany, you know, we obviously get exposed to college football through TV, through TV shows, video games, whatever. NCAA 25 is coming out pretty soon. Everybody is hyped. Like, I mean, I've played the last part, so I'm desperate to play NCAA football on my PlayStation again. I'm just speaking for myself, but I think I speak for a lot of kids of my generation. I call myself a kid right now, but you know, that's a little far-fetched. But from people from my generation, it's like Oregon was the school, like the era where, you know, like they had like the mystery of having like 750 variations of jerseys and helmets. And for me, it was just mind-blowing back then, talking to a guy who played there now. For me, it's mind-blowing. How was that experience? Like, beside football, which is, you know, D1, yeah. But how was the whole experience around there?
I mean, it was awesome. It was really cool. You know, very, you know, popular set of YouTube videos is even just like the tour of the Oregon facilities.
Oh, yeah.
And seeing, you know, our equipment room with Kenny Farr, who's the head of equipment football at Oregon. He's awesome. And that room with all the cleats and the Jordans on the wall. And you know, and I was, before I got there and I was in high school or middle school or whatever it was, I was watching those videos too, like, wow, this is crazy. And so you get there and it's just kind of surreal and you know, just everything they have to offer. And a lot of it is usable, and a lot of it is stuff that people take part in. And then a lot of it is part of that show of, hey, this is Oregon football, you know, for recruits, and just kind of showing, you know, guys what the top of the top facility wise looks like. That's a good way to describe it. I mean, you know, kind of almost museum wise a little bit, where it just kind of shows the history of Oregon football. I mean, there's one building, it's like the Marcus Mariota Performance Center.
Yeah.
Who, you know, Marcus was a Ducks Heisman winner. And has, it's a very cool building. It's got some training stuff in there, a boxing ring. But it's also, you know, kind of paints the history of him and what he did at Oregon. And then, like I said, with the shoes and stuff like that, it's just a very, it feels almost like futuristic. And now it's been a while since Oregon's had all that. I mean, I think it was 10 or 15 years ago when yeah. they kind of came out with that complex, and it was head and shoulders the best in the country. And a lot of schools have started to catch up now and are really upgrading their locker rooms and their facilities. And I know Oregon is in the works of kind of upgrading again soon, but it's just, I guess kind of almost futuristic.
Ooh, hot take and insights right here. I like that a lot. I already like that a lot.
So it was very cool. I mean, you know, I was getting lost my first couple of days, 'cause it's just such a big facility. I mean, you got, like a team meeting theater, but then every single position group has its own room for film. Every coach has his own office. You got a 3-4-story building, and then just at where the locker room and meeting rooms are, and then you got the other buildings for equipment and training and whatnot. So, you know, I was getting lost the first couple of days. I had to get there early to figure out where the heck I was going. So
It makes sense. I mean, a map would be good, or a GPS navigation system or whatever. But that's our only the accolades. I got two follow-up questions. The first follow-up question is, like, all the accolades you get, or all the treatment you get right there, like with all the equipment you said, and kids watching that on YouTube. But how much and especially I'm asking, especially for kids listening to that podcast, like having the dream of going overseas, having a college career, in one way or the other, how much is really expected of a player when it comes to D1 school?
Yeah, I mean a lot. I always tell people that all the perks and benefits and gear and whatever else we receive, you know, that wears off very quickly when you are out there. I mean, you know, I think playing college football anywhere in the U.S. is a grind. I have a younger brother who just finished up playing Division III basketball, so much smaller school, but same thing. I mean, practice every day and a lot is expected at Oregon. I mean, weekly schedule is, you know, we had Mondays off, but Tuesday you were there from 7 to 12 in the morning, and then you had class from basically 12 to 6, and then you were back at night for meetings and dinner, and you did that again on Wednesday, and then Thursday you had practice, and then Friday you're practicing, and then you're either going to the hotel, you stay in a hotel even for home games, just because they don't want you going out on Friday night and doing anything stupid, or traveling to away games. But a lot was expected to, you know, on the field, a lot was expected in the weight room, a lot was expected in the classroom. So they get their money's worth out of you as well. You know, it's what you get is awesome, and I wouldn't trade it for anything, but it's not, you know, I would say that for the first couple of weeks, I was pretty, you know, enamored by the facilities and where I was and everything that I was being given. But after that, at the end of the day, it's still football. It's still a difficult sport. And, you know, you forget about that, and you want to perform and you want to, you know, do a good job and everything else kind of wears off, you know.
I'd say now comes the question 1A before I come to my second follow-up question. 1A would be, would you say that your college football career kind of not took something from the student experience away, but is it limited? Like you said, they don't want you to go out on Friday or whatever.
It was, you know, that's a good question. I think it was limited in some ways, probably in the fall, just because we were so busy. But, you know, at the same time, playing football at a big school like Oregon also, I would say, enhances your student experience.
That makes sense, ways. Especially in summertime.
yeah. So
I get it.
It's you know, I think that it provided, like I said, a lot of perks, but it changed things. I mean, I was fortunate enough that I played my 4 years, and then my winter and spring of my senior year, I was done because I had finished my 4 years. I knew I wasn't coming back. I was graduating. And so I got to kind of experience that last, you know, 6 months of school as a normal student.
I got
you. And it was awesome. You know, it was, you know, just a lot more free time, which I think I was able to enjoy after the first 3.5 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, the Thursday nights were a very popular night in college. I think most colleges in the U.S., but Thursday nights.
Not are, only in the U.S. It's the same. Okay. Yeah. Friday is kind of a.
So it was almost like, you know, I mean, I think you can find some every night at a big school like Oregon. But But Thursday night was a very popular night to go out. And that's when like sororities or fraternities would have like dances a lot of times. And so that made it, I mean, you know, for Thursday nights were tough. You know, you had to almost risk reward if you had practice the next day. Like, is going out tonight? Am I going to just grind through to wake up 3 hours later and grind through tomorrow or what? So, but I think, you know, we still made the most of it and had a great time. And you know, we had to be there all summer long too.
Okay.
So summers were, you know, we would finish spring finals and we'd go home for like a week.
Yeah.
And then we'd come back and we'd start workouts right away for summer. And we would typically take summer classes to help get ahead on credits. And same thing, you know, it was fun to be down there in the summer and with all your teammates and you know, had more free time to go to the lake or whatever you wanted to do, but you also didn't really have the chance to go home and see friends from other schools that were back from college. I was fortunate because I was an Oregon kid that it was easy to go home for a weekend and see family. But a lot of guys, you know, we had guys from Florida and Alabama and from the South or
Hawaii.
Yeah.
Just traditionally,
guys from all over, where, you know, they were only going home, seeing their families, you know, 2-3 times a year when we had a little break. So
I got you. So basically what you're saying, Friday mornings would be, the time where you consumed like, most of the Gatorades during the week.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. I mean, we still, I think I would say most guys, you know, especially most guys who were playing a lot, you know, definitely took it seriously, but, definitely, you know, good, the going out portion of fall and even in the winter and spring, when you had workouts Monday through Friday, you had to, you know, weigh if you were going to go out on a weeknight and test how it was going to go tomorrow. So,
well, I think that's kind of the part of growing up and have shown responsibility, whatever you want in life.
And, yeah. Cause you know. The last thing you wanted to do was be late. That was not going to go over well.
So nah, I can totally see that. Yeah. My follow-up question number two would be, you said it yourself, you coached high school before you came over to Germany, but still, I mean, no disrespect to the German Football League and whatever, because, you know, I was part of it, still part of it, like media team and whatever. I know that we don't have the same facilities in the US. I know there are some teams that are, you know, that there's still a gap. Coming over here, was it humbling? Because you said the first couple of days in Oregon were mind blowing because it was way too much. But is it vice versa in Germany, where you'd be like, well, that's humbling because it's not that much?
I don't know. I was just super excited to come over here. I mean, I guess backtracking a little bit, you know, again, I loved my time at Oregon. I was fortunate enough to carve out some playing time my last couple of years, you know, mainly on special teams, but, you know, I really felt like I got to live out a childhood dream. But I knew when I was done as well that I felt like I had a lot left in the tank because I never played a ton there. You know, I was practicing every day. I was getting stronger. I was getting faster. I was learning a lot, but I wasn't really getting the chance to see the field much. And then, you know, besides running down on kickoff or blocking somebody or something like that. And so, when I got done 2 years ago, I did my exit interview, at Oregon, you know, basically just to kind of wrap up, you know, things and say thank you. And they said the same. And a guy, our director of football operations, his name is Matt Neuer. And he was like, you know, do you have any interest in getting into, like college coaching or recruiting or anything like that. And when I had gone to Oregon, I kind of thought maybe I did want to be in that profession, but after kind of seeing it firsthand and seeing how demanding it was, how time consuming it was and how stressful it was for our coaches. I was like, no, like I'm good. I love football. I love it. You know, it's, you know, I love football, but I don't want to make it my profession.
That makes sense.
And he was like, well, you know, do you have any interest in playing overseas? You know, there was at the time a coach and an ex-offensive line coach who was coaching down in Saarland, and he was, this Matt Neuer from Oregon was like, yeah, we've got, you know, some connections, old coaches that coach overseas, like would you have any interest in doing that? And I never thought about it. I didn't even really know football was played, you know, because it's just not a tough sport to play.
You ignorant American. No, I'm just joking.
and I kind of thought about it and I was like, I don't know, I hadn't really thought about that. And I ended up speaking with the coach one time and there was some mutual interest, but you know, the season starts here, practice, you know, I got here in April, yeah. So practice, and I wasn't graduating until basically this time. I wasn't graduating until middle of June, so I wasn't going to be able to get out here if we wanted to make it work until middle or end of June anyway. So the timing just wasn't really right. And I got into high school coaching while I was also working. And I always just kind of kept in the back of my head that I knew I wanted to maybe try and come play somewhere over in Europe. If it worked out. And after basically 2 years of working out and coaching and I just felt like I was still young and didn't have a lot of responsibilities and wanted the chance to go travel and play one more time. I had an account on Europlayers, which I'm sure you know what that is.
Yeah, of course. We all know.
Yeah. And talked with a few teams, and Munich ended up kind of being the one that worked out best for me. And so I was excited to come over here. And yeah, I mean, it was definitely, so to finally get to your question, I don't know if humbling was the right word. I mean, it was very different. I mean, it's very, you know, very different than, than what I am used to. And I don't know if, I mean, facilities, you know, we don't really have facilities, you know, we have our practice field here in Munich. But that's kind of it, you know, I mean, I take the bus to practice with my pads and
I like to see that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, number one, public transport, which is new to me for the most part from Oregon. And then two, you know, taking my pads with me all the way to practice, but I'm enjoying it. I mean, it's different. I would say that the biggest difference to me is just the practice, right? Cause it's, and the amount of time on the field, because, at Oregon, it was, and in the States, you know, in high school, you practice every day after school. And at Oregon, we practiced every morning and had meetings, and basically you're in the fall when your season was going on, you're like allowed class time was noon to six. That was when you were allowed to have class, because the rest was all for football. And here, you know, we practice twice a week. We practice on Tuesday and Thursday nights, and maybe we'll have a meeting or two at some point during the week if we can. But it's just, it's, you know, it's everybody, you know, for me, I'm an import, I'm a, you know, a technically a professional, but most of the other guys are in school or are working and stuff, and they got, you know, real life responsibilities they have to take care of. So I think the biggest difference to me has just been, you know, the amount of practice time, you know, a couple hours, a couple nights a week, and I try to watch film and kind of make up for that, in other areas. But yeah, I would say that's been the biggest difference.
I think the most interesting and most, the heaviest of your statements was like they have real life responsibilities, which is which is kind of it's not funny to me, but it's like good to hear that you know, you don't take football that serious that you'd be like, well, that should be even as a national player, football should be priority number one, so like the real life responsibilities come first. But would you say that is some kind of the staple of the overseas football, that they still come into practice twice a week, still traveling the country, still try to be in the weight room as much as they can to play at their top level?
I think it's really cool. I mean, you know, that like this many people, I mean, you know, we have our GFL team, and then at the same time we also have our like our MC2 team, which is our second team, that I think they play in either the third or fourth division, and to have, you know, 60 whatever it is, maybe 60 70 guys out there two nights a week, and going after, you know, whatever it was, a long day at school, or I mean, I got a couple of the guys on the team that I've been fortunate enough to get close with are in medical school or trying to be doctors. You know, one of my teammates, cornerback, is studying to be a lawyer, and it's just, you know, it's cool to me that after these long days, and I got another teammate who's starting to be, I think, an engineer, architectural engineer, and he has and he works too 20 hours a week, and just to find time to get all that in, and then, like you said, work out, and get to practice. I mean, it's very, I think that part is humbling, just to see, you know, how much that, you know, people over here still love it and take the time to get out to practice and to play and to deal with that, which, you know, I think we all love football, but it's still, you know, it still can be hard on your body. It still can be stressful, you know, if you want to perform and to have that stress, I guess at times also fun, but stress, but also your daily grind it's been cool to see. So.
Would you consider yourself being more relaxed with football now? Now that the grind, like you described, is a little bit less than in college, per se.
I probably a little more relaxed. I mean, I think that it's, you know, and it's one of the reasons that I like coaching high school back in the States, because. And I would describe it very similar to over here in the GFL is, you know, the goal is still to win. You know, you want to win.
That makes sense.
You want to play well, but you know, at least from what I've seen so far over here, you know, nobody is losing their job after losing one game. Nobody is, you know, your whole week isn't like stressed and ruined if the game doesn't go correctly. You know, I mean, we had a tough one. You know, Ravensburg played great yesterday, and we didn't play so well at times, and you know, had a tough game yesterday. But you know, I think we're all good. You know, we got on the bus and you know, life moves on. So I don't think it's, you know, I have a lot of joy being out there. I mean, I still have kind of try to be focusing because I am an important, I know what my responsibility is to, you know, be a kind of a player coach and to help out as much as can and to make a lot of plays. And I also know that, you know, even though I was never, you know, by any means a big time player or star at Oregon, I still went to Oregon and I come over here and I don't, you know, I want to look like that. You know, I want to look like I come from a big program that, you know, been
like a little chip on your shoulder.
Yeah. Like I, you know, come from a program that played a lot of big games and, you know, I want to come over here and people to still be like, okay, like, you know, he can play and stuff like that. And so I think that's kind of maybe a little bit of stress just cause I want to do my job as an import player. But I mean, I love it. I don't feel like I got kind of looking over my shoulder all the time, like waiting to get yelled at or anything like that, you know, just a little different coaching style for most part over here. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, if we lost a game at Oregon, you know, that, you know, we'd hop on the plane to go home and you didn't say a word. You didn't say a word or else you would, you know, get the death look from our head coach. You know, that was supposed to be a completely quiet plane ride home. And here yesterday, you know, lost the game. It was a tough game, but you know, they still had cases of beer for us and we were all, you know, getting along and talking and laughing after the game and we're disappointed, but you move on. So I think it's a cool, I just think it's a cool place where the game is over here.
But something or an expression came to my mind just recently, and I tried to copyright it. It's a football life balance. Maybe that's the best way to describe football in Europe right there. Yeah. But coming back to your college career, not football wise, but professional wise, what was your major?
I got my major in business, and then I have a minor in economics. So, yeah.
Okay. Is that a path that you want to pursue after football is all over? Or is it really like you're getting used to coach high school and maybe never leave the game of football?
Yeah. I mean, I would like to eventually, yes. I was working in a kind of a business sales role prior to you know, leaving that job to get ready to come over here. But you know, my passion still, and maybe that'll change as I get older, but my passion is still football and I love coaching too. And I'd like to stay around that and keep coaching, but, that's kind of one of the things I'm doing while I'm over here. I mean, I have a lot of time is kind of reaching out to people back home and kind of figuring out what it is that I want to do long-term professionally. Yeah. You know, I don't know yet if playing over here is going to be just a one-year thing or, you know, try and, you know, a couple of our other A teammates that have been over here 3-4 years. I know that's very common for guys to keep coming back. I don't know what the case is going to be with me yet, but trying to.
But it's nice here. It makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah. Germany is nice. So come back.
Oh, it's very nice. No, Munich, you know, we haven't really talked about Munich, but Munich is incredible. Munich is a beautiful city. But, you know, that's kind of, I'm trying to figure out professionally what kind of career path it is that I want to go down when I eventually settle back down at home. But I do hope that whatever it is allows me the time to coach high school ball or coach at some level. Cause, it really is, you know, something that I love and brings me joy. And, you know, I think it's important to have, you know, interests outside of just your work. So,
Yeah, but makes sense. And again, football life balance. So if anyone walks around with t-shirts like that, and I don't get the benefit for that, you know, Lucas got some lawyers on his team, so I already called them to to back me up on their copyright. No, but I think that's some nice final words. Maybe something about Munich. What was the most astonishing thing? What is the most beautiful thing that you've witnessed or experienced here in Germany or in Munich especially?
I mean, just overall, I mean, I would say the thing about Munich probably that I've enjoyed the most is the two parks, the English Garden, and then also the Olympia Park where the Olympic Games were. I think both those places are beautiful and they've been fun to go and kind of walk through. Hang out at, you know, my girlfriend gets out here this week. I'm excited to bring her to, but I know she'll love both those places. I got friends coming, later this summer, same thing, be probably one of my first places I take those guys. So I love the parks. I think it's super cool. They're much bigger, but it kind of reminds me of like New York where you got, you know, a nice park in the middle of a big city. And I think that's super cool. And then in general too, I just think it's a beautiful, clean, safe city. I mean, I love the US. I think it's a great country, and you kind of mentioned it, you know, I'm from the West Coast. We have a lot of cities that, you know, kind of have a lot of stuff going on right now and a lot of big cities, you know, you kind of gotta be careful at times. And I just think that Munich has been, just beautiful, just very different from what I'm used to. So, yeah.
So the only thing I can wish you right now is just enjoy your time in Munich and enjoy playing the sport you love and you have passion for. And I hope you get the chance to travel with all your buddies throughout Europe. I mean, Austria is very, very near. You have the Alps right there, down there. Yeah. The northern part of Germany is beautiful as well. We got the north and the east sea right here. So whenever you got the chance, come up north. And you have everything else around, so a lot of things to explore for you. So thank you for your time, thank you for your openness. I don't think that's going to be the last time we talked. I'm grateful that you take your time during the week on a Monday morning, because we are recording on a Monday morning. So is there anything or something you want to get off your chest for our listeners?
No, I mean, I think that's kind of just, I guess, you know, GFL podcast, come support your GFL teams.
There you go.
No, we're off this weekend. I talk about travel. Like I said, my girlfriend gets here. We're going to Amsterdam and to Belgium this weekend. So
there you go.
That should be cool.
Ooh, Belgium chocolate. Oh, you have to taste that.
Her family's from Belgium. So
oh, nice.
We're going to go meet them. And then in 2 weeks we play our second home game against, you know, Schwäbisch Hall, who obviously is a very, very impressive team. So if you're from Munich listening to this, two weeks, come out and watch.
There you go. Some last words from Lucas Nolan, number 7, Munich Cowboys defensive back and former Oregon Ducks Player. Vielen lieben Dank fürs Zuhören. Es war ein wunderbares Interview. Diesmal ein bisschen länger, aber wir haben gut gequatscht. Mein Name ist Thorsten Sell. Das Ganze wurde euch präsentiert von New Yorker. Das war der This is GFA Football Podcast für diese Woche. In 2 Wochen kommt der nächste raus. Also ihr wisst, was ihr zu tun habt. Liken, subscriben und gerne auch kommentieren und mir schreiben. Bis dahin, ich bin raus. Macht's gut.
This is GFL Football. Der GFA-Podcast mit Thorsten Sell.